today on a couple of issues related to standing and their right effectively to participate in these proceedings. They came to court, or attempted to come to court, in October 2014 upon finding out that their minor child that had been placed in their care as licensed foster parent since April, a day or two after she was born, was in fact involved in juvenile court proceedings they were unaware of. On becoming aware of that, they filed their petition to intervene. That petition to intervene was set pursuant to our procedural standards to require an answer. We're going through those proceedings when the mother, on behalf of her attorney, her attorney on behalf of the mother, filed a motion to change placement. This had happened prior to the motion for intervention coming to court for a final hearing. That change of placement was then noticed in, once again, prior to that final hearing. Understanding that the whole reason for their intervention request was in part because of their objection to the child being removed from their home, and their concern that they had not been aware of these proceedings or been visited by a guardian ad litem.
How long has the child been in the foster parent's home?
At the time of, throughout the entirety of this case until the ultimate change of placement, the child was with the foster parent. So at that time, it had been early April to mid-October.
About
4 or 5 months before they realized that. And there had been an adjudication. Her half-brother in Ichie had been adjudicated. Those proceedings had been going on, but up until attorney was born in early April, that's when their participation in the case began. There was an adjudication in late August, a check hearing in September, and frankly, an order issued back in early April that indicated they were to be provided notice of these proceedings. And frankly, had that order not been entered, there was still a statutory requirement that they be provided notice that was not complied with.
The sole relationship of your clients to this child was foster parents, right?
Correct. I mean, there was
no blood or
they're not
marital relationships or anything of that nature.
Correct. There was no biological relation whatsoever. I would submit, however, they're the only parties that at the time throughout the entire proceedings that were at issue here were the care custodians of that minor child. I mean, they provided everything for her that entire time. There was, I think, a handful of visits the child had with the mother.
So you wanted to object to the placement, is that correct?
Correct.
And the court ruled what?
Well, it was in its order, and it sort of got it wrong on two counts, I believe, at the November order. It essentially said, because we're foster parents, we can't object. Well, the statute says otherwise, and case law defines that. It essentially says, without having to intervene, foster parents have a limited objection for standing to object to motions to remove minor children from their home. That's what we were attempting to do. At the time of the hearing, the intervention hadn't been granted. Frankly, that was irrelevant on the change of placement issue. The court did not allow us to have standing in that hearing. And frankly, the hearing was essentially just, we want this to happen, okay,
and
it's going to happen.
What is your authority for standing? Jarius G. and what? Henry Interest of Montana S?
Correct, Judge. And 43-13-14, which indicates that, again, and that.
Assuming you had standing and assuming it's a final order or affecting a substantial right, what would you have gained or what bundle of rights do you get by intervention? Because you've also are assigning that the court erred in not allowing you to intervene. What is the difference in this case between you allowing you to go through with standing and intervention?
What would you gain by intervention
other than what you would have got by standing?
The ability to enforce their statutory rights to notice of the hearings, for one. I think, again, with the narrow facts of this case, we're not talking about just a foster family that's had older children for 2 months. I mean, they've been with this child since birth at an important time for development. They are the single best evidence for what is in this child's best interest.
If they intervene and were a party, they'd get notice for hearings and be involved through the whole procedure.
Correct. They would have the protections of counsel to make sure that they can enforce these rights, because the frustration is, we can't intervene to object to the fact we don't have notice when we have both case law and statutory law saying notice is required. How is that right enforced? What's the point of having a right unless it can be enforced?
Refresh me, how were they appointed as foster parents? What was the What was the basis for this disposition?
The mother gave birth while in prison, and I believe this, the testimony was as late as December 2014. She had ultimately been incarcerated for, I think, a minimum of 40 years at that time, and I think the counsel wasn't in the record.
But have the mother's rights been terminated?
No, they had not been terminated, Your Honor. But once again, the inference from that sentence is that obviously she would not be able to provide permanency.
Well, where was the custody initially placed then with the child after the child was born?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Where was the custody placed to the child after the child was born?
The legal custody was placed in the Department of Health and Human Services, who made the decision to place the physical custody and give control and care to the foster parents. Okay. At the time of...
So if the Department of Health and Human Services wanted to change the placement, do they have to notify the foster parents and have a hearing on that?
Yes. Frankly, after adjudication, they do. In fact, if anybody wants to. The wheels were put in motion in early August to effectuate this change of placement without any notice. Then, because I believe they saw a potential combatant to that placement petitioning to intervene, an official motion to change placement was on file, but frankly, that was irrelevant.
But did we in Destiny ask, did we decide that foster parents did not have a matter of right to intervene?
They don't have a matter of right, and I think that the trial court also got hung up on that, which is to say, he got hung up on the fact, well, this is a relative placement, so we're going to send him there without it looking at best interest. And he got hung up on the intervention on the fact, well, they don't have a matter of right, so they can't intervene. What he's missing is that there is equitable intervention principles, and I frankly agree.
Was Destiny S, was that, did we decide that on a matter of right, or was that on equity?
It was denied on both, Your Honor. I think that the dissent...
That was 4-3, wasn't it?
Correct. And the dissent found that there was principles back when that one should have attached for intervention. And I would submit...
And the facts of Destiny S is much more egregious than here, were they not?
Well, I don't know that I would agree with that, Your Honor. I think that these are pretty egregious facts as well. I mean, we're having a newborn child who's not being visited by her guardian ad litem, who doesn't have a voice in court, and she's being shipped off to Nevada without anyone actually looking at the merits of whether that's in her best interest. Now, maybe they were after a contested hearing. We'll never know.
Well, what are the equitable principles involved with regard to the foster parents?
The fact that, once again, they were caring for this minor child, they were looking at it, knowing what the position of the mother was, that she was not going to be able to provide permanency, that
yes.
They were prospective adoptive parents for this minor child.
You're claiming that they might want to be adoptive parents, is that?
Correct, and they were.
That was their goal?
Correct, and that was what they were informed when the child was placed with them. I don't know that there's any official legal determination between the two when a child's placed with them.
What rights do the foster parents have on a day-to-day care of the children or the child here?
Well, they provide for everything.
Well, but do they make medical decisions?
Yes.
Did they determine? Okay.
Yes. I mean, emergency medical decisions, I think broader ones are given with bringing in the department. But here you have a lack of case management, a lack of oversight from the guardian ad litem. And in these narrow circumstances...
But before you sit down, you want to address why it wasn't in the best interest to allow this placement to go...
Certainly.
It was the maternal aunt, wasn't it?
That's what was alleged,
okay.
Yes. The issue, I think, was that this was a one-sided hearing. I mean, at first, at the change of placement hearing, there was no evidence whatsoever. So we don't know what was in her best interest. The court said, relative, we're going to send her. Okay. Notwithstanding the fact is across the country there had been no contact between the minor child and this person before.
Well, there was a study done in Nevada on...
Correct. On an ICPC, which has to be done anytime you place someone out of state. But again, that's deferring whether it's in her best interest to an outside agency in Nevada that's never met this child either. The court still has to take that into consideration.
Now, the court relied on preference for somebody in the family.
Correct, and it's a preference, but it's still subject to a best interest analysis, and that preference can be overcome. And I think in this case, the evidence that was offered through that affidavit under an offer of proof indicated that there were serious concerns that at least needed to be addressed, because at this point, this child was not given a fair chance to have her best interest put before the judge and have...
What was the serious concerns with the maternal aunt?
Lack of contact. I think the home study indicated she works midnight hours, overnight hours. She lives with her mother who works the same hours. We don't know what's happening out there in Nevada right now, at least I don't. But the record, I think, should have been developed so the court can make a call on the merits and not I think, tried to just sweep this under the rug without having any hearing that needs to be had when you're talking about where a newborn child's going to be placed when you're taking them out of the home, of the only home they've known for 8 months.
Suppose the department has custody of a child and places a child with particular foster parents who abuse the child. Does the department have to wait for a contested hearing over abuse before pulling the child from that placement?
Absolutely not. Emergency circumstances require immediate removal, the same as a child being abused in the parental home. We don't wait for a protective custody hearing before we remove a child. An ex parte affidavit could be issued and an ex parte order could be issued an hour.
Without notice?
Correct.
So, okay. I guess I'm not understanding the breadth of the notice and right to appear that you are urging on behalf of foster parents, which seems to me to open up a huge can of worms.
I frankly would submit that I'm only asking for what's already been determined to be their right, which is not a right as a matter of law to intervene and participate, but a right to be, when change of placement is put at issue, as the Montana court determined, that standing be provided for the parent to object to the foster parent to object to that change of placement.
Well, that's standing, though. That's different than a right to intervene.
Correct. So we move now to intervention principles. Under the equity principles in this case, the narrow facts of this case with a newborn child, I'll go over all the other factors, that those issues now have risen to that level. Then you add on top of that the fact that they were not provided the notice that they should have been provided that would have allowed them come to court, raise these issues in a timely manner, and not wait until the cat's already out of the bag. The ICPC is. So, I'm out of time. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Campagna. Is it Mr. Campagna?
It is, Your Honor. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
May it please the court, Bob Campagna, Lawrence Gardner Roberts, on behalf of the Ellie, the mother of the minor child. I'll focus on whichever aspect of this story you want me to do. My take on this is that what's important here is that the mother conveyed to Health and Human Service caseworkers prior to birth that upon birth she would like her child placed with her sister, who happened to be a resident of the family. That testimony is in the record. In April 2014, the court entered an order informing Health and Human Services they should look at those placements. The placement in Nevada was one of those that was supposed to be considered. So we don't get to the issue my opponent is asking you to urge, but for the fact that we had to look at an ICPC with Nevada before placement could have occurred. So the issue then in October of 2014, wasn't until October of 2014, when the child was about 4 months old, that the appellants file a petition to intervene. And my client and the father of the half-sibling also objects and the matter is scheduled for hearing. Prior to that time, we have a motion to change placement on file 2 weeks after it's filed. It's heard. The appellants haven't had an opportunity to intervene yet. That hearing is scheduled in December. So the court issues a ruling with respect to placement and conditions it only upon one thing, and that is the ICPC paperwork having been provided to all parties.
Did the court decide that the foster parents did not have standing to object to the placement?
At that time, that's correct, Your Honor. At that time, they did not have standing.
Why did they have standing? Because they hadn't intervened?
They hadn't intervened.
Do you have to intervene to have standing? Have we said that?
They could present evidence with respect to placement, with respect to their fitness, and they didn't do that. The only evidence that they have ever presented in any of these proceedings is one singular affidavit. The court, I would respectfully disagree with my opponent, didn't get hung up on any issues. They were given the opportunity to present evidence with respect to equity because they don't have a right to. And they presented a singular.
They had affidavit. Standing to object to the placement, don't they?
I think they had standing to object, to state their opinion, and to present their evidence with respect to their fitness. That's correct, Judge.
Okay.
No evidence was presented. In December 2014, their motion for change of placement, their motion to intervene was heard, and they presented no evidence in an equitable format which would have suggested that they needed to be interveners. And I think it ends at that. The discussion ends at that point, Your Honor. There's no substantial right presented here. They were at no point considered adoptive placements for this child. I think it's important to note that at no time relevant in these proceedings was the permanency objective adoption. Mother's rights were intact throughout. Permanency objective did not include adoption. So we have foster parents saying, let us intervene for the purpose of determining placement when mother's rights are still intact.
But the foster parents start caring for the newborn, and perhaps in their mind they're hoping it's foster adopt, right? But in this early time frame, you would not necessarily expect to see a permanency objective of adopt, would you? In these early months? I mean, notwithstanding the length of the sentence on BioMom, but you wouldn't necessarily expect to see that in the paperwork, would you?
That's correct.
Okay, so the absence of adoptive goal is maybe not of a legal significance yet.
It wasn't of a legal significance yet. They may have had those thoughts, but it wasn't. There's no evidence that it was presented to them. Health and Human Services did not indicate that they had ever considered them a foster adoptive home. Health and Human Services was on board with the best interest notion of this child being placed with her maternal aunt. So was the guardian ad litem. So was the state.
Did the Court of Appeals in Montana hold that a foster parent has a substantial right, or a right is affected?
In that Court of Appeals decision, yeah. Your Honor, they could have a substantial right if they had had, I think there was three issues. If they had the child in their care for the majority of the case, the majority of the child's life, and if they were considered a potential adoptive home for that child. That last component here, I think we could safely say that they had the child for the majority of her life, but there's no evidence before the court that they were ever considered a potential
for adopted.
That's correct, Judge. That's where that issue is.
Were the best interests of the child actually ever considered by the court in this case?
They would have been considered, Your Honor, at the time of the motion for change of placement. There was no objection from anyone who had standing at that time. State Health and Human Services guardian ad litem. The placement with the maternal aunt and the ICPC, which was completed.
Well, Mr. Campania, didn't we hold in Jarius G, and I think I can't remember the other case, that foster parents have standing to object to the placement?
I think they could present evidence, Your Honor. I think you did find that they could present evidence with respect to placement in the best interest of the child. I don't see any evidence in the record.
What about just objecting? Did they object?
I don't want to misstate the record, Your Honor. I don't remember if they objected. I know they didn't present any evidence.
Okay. They didn't present any evidence, or they weren't allowed to present any evidence.
At that time, Your Honor, they wouldn't have been interveners in the process. They had a petition to intervene on file, which was scheduled in early December. So our position is that there is no
substantial... Excuse me, are you saying you had the hearing to determine removal of the child and place to a different area before the court would even consider the foster parent's petition to intervene?
I would say, Your Honor, that the...
That's convenient, isn't it?
I would say, Your Honor, that the what actually happened was the court had ordered Health and Human Services to look at relative placement in a... Mom had conversations, which are in the record, with Health and Human Service staff prior to birth. What transpired in November of 2014 was a continuation of what had happened in April, long before the foster parents filed a petition. So it may look convenient. It might look as though...
Well, when did that foster parents have notice?
I'm sorry, Eric.
When did they have notice that there was going to be a change in placement?
They would have had notice of all of the proceedings, Your Honor. I'm not sure that the record would reflect that the foster parents weren't present for the motion.
Does the record reflect they were given notice?
Well, wasn't there an affidavit by the foster parent, what they would do? He was an accountant, and the mother would quit her work as a teacher, a nurse, and devote full time to raising the child. And the affidavit, I don't remember exactly what was. Wasn't that before the court at the time of the objection to the placement?
My recollection, Your Honor, is that was before the court at the time of the motion for intervention in December. Okay. Even if they had standing, they presented no evidence which would reflect that their home would provide a better home than a maternal aunt. They never got to the issue of best interests. The court did not get hung up on that issue. They were not limited to presenting only an affidavit saying what they may do or what systems they might put in place for the child. They chose to present one affidavit, and they did not do anything which would refute the ICPC, the guardian ad litem's consent, the state's consent, the caseworker's consent, that the best interests of the child lie with placing with a maternal aunt. I have no other information unless you have more questions.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
It is over.
There is no time for rebuttal. That concludes arguments for today. The court is adjourned, and you are dismissed.